Welcome to Kangwee, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And first of all, I want to... We were recording during Victoria Pride in British Columbia, Victoria, BC. We are carried by the great folks there over at CFUV-FM out of the University of Victoria. Mm-hmm. And always a pleasure to grace those airwaves. But yeah, they had their Pride. That's what we hadn't mentioned it last week because we were recording during the Pride.
Well, I mean, I think it's more accurate to say at the same time as, because if you say during, that kind of implies...
Yeah, we weren't like in the way. Yeah, some people were in the way, and we will get to that.
Oh, yes.
But no, we weren't like obstructing the flow of floats, as it were, in order to record the show. But no, we were simultaneously recording our program. Excellent. So yeah, Victoria Pride happened in Victoria, BC, mm-hmm. As did a number of other prides. But let's start there, shall we?
Okay.
Around Victoria Pride. First of all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before we talk about things that maybe didn't go so great.
Okay.
I have a lot of friends in Victoria, and they had a great time.
You don't have any friends other than me and Jake. Don't lie.
No, I have other friends. How dare you? How dare you? My acquaintances on Facebook are very dear to me. No. The station man, the station team there at CFUV-FM, great folks. And a special shout out to my friend Glenn as well. But great people. Anyway, my point here is...
Just made Glenn up. There is no Glenn.
There is a Glenn. Folks here would know Glenn. Anyway, my point is that this event... was lovely. A lot of people had a great time.
Yes.
The photos of it looked marvelous. And I don't want to detract from the fact that Pride in Victoria was a great time for so many people. It was it was exactly what Pride was meant to be.
Okay. Yeah.
And now we move on to the not so great piece of what happened. So on Pride, mm-hmm. About 40 protesters held up the parade. Now, they're not like, 18th century bandits with muskets. They didn't hold it up in terms of a ransom. They held it up as in terms of causing a slight delay.
Mm-hmm. Is it like Toronto where it was a delay long enough where they canceled the whole thing? Or was it just like they went out there, hold things up for 5 minutes, and then back off and let everyone go? Like what are we talking about here?
I don't think the parade was, I don't think the disruption was particularly long. It's worth noting, and we talked about this a little bit years ago when Ottawa Pride was protested by the Black Lives Matter movement, I think.
That was Toronto.
No, Ottawa was.
Ottawa? Oh, yeah. Was it? Okay.
Ottawa was, they've all been protested by so many things, but it was held up for about, I think it was about 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
But it's like a car accident on a highway. When you're on the tail end of that, the time it takes to get the traffic moving again, that those 20 minutes become 30, 40, 50, 60, hour and something. So it may have been on the ground only about 15, 20 minutes. But
right. If
you're on the back end of that parade, and let's be honest, there were plenty of gays on the back end of that parade. Mm-hmm. The delay would have certainly taken a lot longer before you get rolling. So for some people, it was a short delay. And I am certain for some other folks, it was a very long time that they were...
Just standing around getting heat stroke.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was not great. What I really like is, well, first of all, they issued a list of demands, and I have them in front of me.
Okay.
A public call for a ceasefire in Palestine. It's worth mentioning just briefly. I don't know if you must know the Lancet.
Yes, I know of it. Yeah.
Yeah, The Lancet is, if not the world's most prestigious medical journal, it is top three. Mm-hmm. It is an authority on medical. Anyway, yes. They issued there was a big study on the death rate in Gaza as a result of this conflict, mm-hmm. and The Lancet, or the article published in The Lancet, puts the figure at about 180,000. Mm. So that, in the context of like 180,000 people, public call for ceasefire in Palestine. Okay, fine. We'll move on. Boycott and divesting from institutions that fund Israel. We're seeing that in so many places. Yeah. Removal of all law enforcement from Pride. We've talked about that a lot. They have to be there for traffic calming. It's what's caused the will they, won't they, will they, won't they in Sudbury Pride. It was all about the police presence.
Years ago, the first time in Hamilton Pride where they convinced the police to be on call but not to be on site, there was a riot.
There wasn't a riot, but there were far-right extremists that caused violence, and then the police took forever to get there because they were so far away.
Because they were told to be off-site.
So far away. Yeah, that was a case of...
And they announced to the public that they would be off-site as well.
Yeah, so the far-right radical extremists that came in with violence knew that any kind of response would be delayed.
Yeah, they had 5 to 10 minutes at least, yeah.
Exactly. So. Long enough to hit someone with a helmet, which is what happened.
Exactly.
There was also a call to stop police sweeps of parks to remove unhoused community members and to meet with communities to bring forward concerns. Now, let's start with that last one. The Pride Society in Victoria is actually a bit perplexed because they thought they had done the right thing and sort of got out ahead of it.
Okay.
So in many communities across Canada, with some regularity, mm-hmm. there are a group of folks in our communities who are protesting at embassy, city hall, Parliament in the case of Ottawa, the provincial legislature. There is an almost weekly protest to advocate the ending of this war in Gaza, like clockwork. And I believe that there is a group in Victoria that gathers, I think it's every Sunday, like clockwork, at mm-hmm. City Hall to advocate the end of the war.
Okay.
And the Victoria Pride literally went to them and said, hey, look, you know, this is what's up. I believe... I don't think it was this Pride, but other Prides we'll talk about later had the Palestinian war-ending groups as their grand marshals.
Mm-hmm.
They went and they spoke to them and they said, "Hey, you know, let's have a conversation now before the parade."
Right.
So it turns out, despite these demands of ceasefire in Palestine, defunding, talk to the community, it kind of surprised, from what I can see here, it seems to have surprised Victoria Pride because they were already working on it.
Mm-hmm.
They'd already had conversations. They'd already been proactive.
Yeah.
They'd already done the outreach. But the 40-odd people that showed up were not personally invited to a conversation, and therefore may well have decided that they and 39 of their friends need to hold up the parade. Mm-hmm. This is a, you know, we talk about it all the time. Organizations, you know, the queer community tends to err on the side of organizational leadership. They talk to community organizations because it's impossible to talk to 1 in 10 queer people. There mm-hmm. isn't, thankfully, because gays on lists is never a great thing. There isn't, thankfully, a list of all the homos in Victoria that you can then call up with a mass text message and say, hey, how do you feel about, you know, the Pride Parade? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not practical. So they had done, like, it's a frustration. I am frustrated on their behalf.
Well, it's something that we've seen in the community multiple times as well, where both you and I have sat on police community councils. On Pride committees. And every so often, somebody would come in and they'd be super angry and they say, why are the police completely uninterested in ever doing anything about whatever? And sometimes they're right. You know, the community's dragging its heels, the police force is dragging its heels, City Hall sometimes is the thing that's in the way. And every so often someone will come in and they'll say, no one's doing something about blah, blah, blah. And then we'll say, well, actually, there's an 8-year action plan and we're in year 4 and things are actually on schedule and things have been improving. What are you talking about? No one's doing anything. And it's just they personally don't know about every little detail. And fair enough, like sometimes these action plans that City Hall or the police or whomever they're doing, they just keep it way too under their hat. They're not really advertising it. They give it some weird name and put it on a website. And if you don't know the name of like action, you know, action plan scuba dive
community
7 like,
engagement research group, you know, it's like some generic names like,
yeah, something. If you don't know exactly how to look it up, you're never gonna find it. So granted, I'll say that I do have some sympathy to them, because the marketing on behalf of anyone who's trying to get anything done, broadly speaking, they're more focused on getting things done than they are on marketing, so fair enough. But then, you know, you get people coming in saying, why aren't you doing what have you, and it's like, we're 65% of the way through. We've already had the mid report. Would you like to read like the interim report on our success rate? We're ahead of schedule. Like this kind of thing happens quite often. So yeah. The fact that this happened to Victoria Pride, it's kind of laughably tragic, because I've seen it before in person. I've been the guy who's had to break it to people like, no, that's being handled. So it's, I don't know. This is kind of
don't get me wrong here. I don't want our listeners to think, wow, these guys are you know, they're not keen on these protesters. I'm not. Just I don't disagree questions. With what they're protesting.
Yeah.
Know, there is a place and a lively debate in the community about police presence in Pride, for example, and the over-policing of queer communities. You know, for a long time, I would like to see a more up-to-date stat, but for a long time, if you look at people under 25, they were way disproportionately queer, because LGBT youth lose their homes for various reasons more than straight youth. That's just the way it worked out. So yeah, there is over-policing of these communities. You know, if they're homeless and they're being rounded up in parks, yeah, that should stop. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not disagreeing.
Oh yeah.
Here. But my issue here is, did any of these 40 people have a conversation with Pride?
Yeah.
Before deciding to interrupt the parade.
Did
because
anybody
Pride
ask?
Is saying, yeah. No one talked to us. And if they did,
they
did talk to us, we would have told them about XYZ that we're already working. In fact, that group I mentioned earlier, that meets every Sunday, I think it's Sunday, I'll be corrected if it's not, that meet weekly to protest the war in Gaza, they had to be clear, like, this is not us.
Yeah.
This is because we know we've had that conversation. We were there. We got the memo. You know, we read the report. But no, this is not us. This is just 40 people. You know, I adore civic action. I think more of us need to be driven to get out of our seats, get out of our homes. The easiest thing is to do is to vote. You know, like, civic engagement is brilliant.
Yeah.
But if you're going to protest the once annual expression of pride, joy, resilience, engagement, don't forget that in your community there are new Canadians where this is the first time in their lives. Or there might be a 60-year-old that's finally their life has changed and now they're out.
You're
choosing that moment to interrupt, to make a point that you never talk to anyone really about. You know what I mean? It's just have some courtesy.
If you don't briefly, just do a cursory double check to make sure that you are in fact protesting something that's not being done. Like, some of the demands on these lists look like to me, it feels like they're demanding that we no longer use whale baleen in dress undercarriages. Like, it's just, you know, they're protesting a practice that stopped 120 years ago, kind of a thing. Like, what are you talking about? No, granted, some of these things are like, more should be done or things should be done more constructively, but every so often there'll be something on a list of demands where it's like, that one, item number 6, what are you talking about? Like,
a perfect example is, you know, item number 2, you know, complete removal of police and pride. And, you know, people have done that. They've tried that. They were like, no police, in which case there is no parade.
Yeah.
You could certainly have your protest march for sure, you know, because marches are a separate beast. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your local youth group that wanted, that spent 3 months building a float, well, they're SOL. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they've tried. Like, this is not news for queer organizations, but balancing the needs of our community. And the queer community is not homogenous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not all cis white men 30 to 40 like us. You know what I mean? It's incredibly diverse. So balancing these things is really tricky. You know what? I'm going to make a chamomile tea, cool my jets a little bit here. And we're going to jump to our first track. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about, and this is why I need my chamomile tea. It might be a green tea of a different variety. Because when we get back, we're going to talk about where this has really gone to an extreme in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We'll get to that just after Gumdrops by Seisky. And we'll be back just after this.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Cancri, home of Canada's Queer Medium. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And just before the break, we were talking about a protest that disrupted the Pride Parade in Victoria, British Columbia, and how the protesters made several demands, some of which were already being worked on. Now, it seems like I am concerned about their approach to media. They're not taking any media interviews. They're not discussing anything at all. But they have effectively just cancelled everything. In fact, they cancelled everything about an hour or two before the week was supposed to kick off.
When you say everything, you don't just mean the parade. You also mean the fair,
They were just calling it a day. They were like, yeah, we're done. They are just done. And you know what? I get it. I get it. But I think that maybe here in the maelstrom of passion and emotions, and you know, they also made the local Palestinian group their grand marshal. We saw a similar thing happen in St. John. We talked about last week, if you recall. I know you recall, you were in the conversation with me, but our listeners may or may not recall, last week we talked about St. John's, Newfoundland, and where a air quote sponsor of the Pride on the Pier event end quote cancelled because of a condition that the Palestinian group had as being the Grand Marshal, which is that companies on the divestment list not be promoted. In this case,
and it was like 80% misunderstanding.
Misinformation is my take on it.
Oh, okay.
But things have not gone as smoothly in Fredericton. The lieutenant governor, for example, first openly gay lieutenant governor in New Brunswick, was slated to attend the parade, actually cancelled attending on the grounds of having to maintain bipartisanship. When your pride parade becomes so politically fire that the lieutenant governor goes, oh, actually, maybe not. In fact, and I believe the local Jewish community has elements of it, has rustled up boycotts from the city and the municipality and the province to also pull their support of the Pride Parade. It seems like an unstoppable force has met an immovable object, and Pride is the slither of existence in between the two things. And it has ignited the Palestine-Israel debate right in Fredericton, with the Pride Committee in the crosshairs at the same time. They've cancelled, I believe, and this is great news. I need to double check the name of it, but I believe that there is a trans coalition, a coalition of trans folks and advocates in Halifax that have actually stepped up to help pick up the pieces and make sure that something happens. Which is exciting.
You freeballed the name and you almost nailed it. The New Brunswick Coalition for Transgender Rights.
There we go. I was like guessing. It's like my community action engagement committee. I'm like, I bet you there's a municipality somewhere with a community engagement action committee. Generic names are for the win. Something will happen. They call, if you're listening in Fredericton, I believe that we are carried at CHSRFM in Fredericton. Not all is lost. Yep. It's fine.
I mean, always going to have individual gay bars are going to do events. You're going to have individual groups are still going to go for a hike or have a picnic or whatever they're going to do anyway. You're going to, a lot of those groups are still going to do their thing. Without Fredericton Pride there to back them, their ability to market themselves to people who aren't already on the in, it might be limited. They may get lower attendance. They may get fewer new people, because events like this at Pride, they always get new people. So it'll be sort of a slim year, but it will go on. There's never going to be a year where nothing happens. If anything else, people are just going to go to the local watering hole and just meet with people.
Well, what they've done is they've issued a call for anyone who was involved with organizing Pride in a volunteer capacity to run events, the parade, whatever. They've essentially said, hey, if you had any kind of role that's not on the board of Pride in terms of making it happen, we'd love to keep you. We'll not keep you. We'd love to have you do that thing anyway, but not for, you know, Pride Inc., not for the nonprofit corporation of Pride, which is the one that's not doing it anymore. Just do it anyway, but, you know, of your own volition. not necessarily attached to Pride. And they're like, hey, if you're in Fredericton and you want to, you know, be busy that weekend, we'd love to fill in some gaps with some new volunteers. So I actually suspect that this may be, this may see some success. You know, I think that the folks in Fredericton, a lot of people have heard about this. Mm-hmm. I think the best advice I've seen about the Pride Parade in Fredericton and the events in Fredericton is, even if someone's told you it's cancelled, double check. It's probably not cancelled, or it'll be uncancelled. Mm-hmm. So even though we're saying, you know, they cancelled everything, not really, like they did, but like other people have uncancelled. Just check it out. Have a look. It's probably still happening. But the thing that the thread that I want to pull in this conversation is, I remember years and years ago, there was a gentleman. He was one of the first people to be diagnosed with HIV. He lived with AIDS for many years. He died, I think, 10 years ago. He lasted a long, long time. It took me under his wing when I was a new gay in Ottawa, and I'd expressed interest in maybe joining the Pride Committee. Mm-hmm. And he said, the Pride Committee chews you up and spits you out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is a self-eating snake. It just devours the people that go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if, for folks who are looking to get involved with Pride, you know, I don't want to put people off, because, you know, like I said earlier, fan of civic engagement. But these are volunteers. These are people who are not paid to do this. This is, you know, they're giving up their weekends. They could be going to go see XYZ movie. They could be, you know, having a gummy and chilling on the couch. But instead, they chose to help make this event happen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these folks are choosing to also balance other political questions, like police and pride, representation of people of color in engagement activities and the work they do, and how they address the Palestinian conflict by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot. It's so much. And it's on the shoulders of volunteers in our community who don't do this as a job. You know what I mean? Like, it is big expectations.
And most Pride committees really are made of people who are more focused on the festival, and they really do just want to see the thing happened, and they are willing and able to put themselves aside to make sure that the thing happens, and that they create the framework so that the community can fill it in with social activities and activism and all that kind of, you know, all the things that make Pride Pride. I think one of the major issues, though, is that every Pride committee has one Colin Robinson on it. And I think that just Colin sort of Robinson. Ruins the whole thing. Yeah. Colin Robinson being an energy vampire.
Yeah.
There is that one bureaucrat type who has good intentions, but just drains the room, and they can really, really spin things out. But I mean, that's the nature of volunteering. You always get, I mean, you also get people who are there because they're just power hungry or narcissists or something. And it's at most, if you have a group of 20 volunteers, it'll be like one person like that. And unfortunately, depending on what it is that's making them hard to work with, sometimes it can ruin the whole thing. It's really, really, really unfortunate. And it's the nature of, I mean, I want to say it's the nature of volunteer groups. It's kind of just the nature of any organized system, because you can have a well-oiled machine, and you just get that one lazy person to ruin everything, or egotistical person, or power-hungry person, or, you know, it is an issue. And for most prides, if you see them, like 20 years, no political conflicts, they never get in the news, festival goes on, everything happens on time, no issues. That's because they had a 20-year run where everyone involved kept themselves in check. And we have been seeing that for a long time for most prides. And there's a couple prides that have been in the news a lot lately in the past few years, consistently. And it's because once the boat gets rocked, it's hard to get good people back. I'm very sympathetic, though, with Fredericton. And the interesting thing here is, it really exposes the fact